past couple weeks and you have really good memories, then you'll remember that we've been going through the parables of Jesus. And when I was little, I got that the parables of Jesus were stories that were told as illustrations of points, kind of like your fables or your fairy tales, where it was like, this is a story that's trying to make a bigger point. But what I didn't realize was that all the parables came together trying to make one big point. And as I got older, I kept reading and hearing the parables read and kind of getting bored with the parables, honestly. But I kept hearing this phrase, the kingdom of God, or the kingdom of heaven. And I was like, okay, this phrase keeps coming up everywhere around the parables. What's it getting at? And so I started to study and look into it, and it's really simple. The kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, is where God is king. And it's where his desires and his design is lived out. And so in the future, in the new heaven and the new earth, that's going to be God's perfect kingdom. The perfect kingdom of heaven or kingdom of God. But right here and right now, he's calling us to bring that kingdom to earth and to come away from the brokenness of sin, come away from the rebellion against God and his design for us, make things right as we look to follow him and follow his design and desires for us. So I'm going to start off by getting into this parable and just reading through it together. And it starts off with the kingdom of heaven. And it says, for the kingdom of heaven is like a master of a house who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for a vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And just to be real clear here, a denarius was a pretty typical wage for a day's labor, just pretty normal amount. So after agreeing with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And going out about the third hour, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And he said to them, you go into the vineyard too, and whatever is right, I will give you. So they went. Going out again about the sixth hour and the ninth hour, he did the same. About the 11th hour, he went out and found others staying and said to them, why do you stand here idle all day? And they said to him, because no one has hired us. So he said to them, you go into the vineyard too. And when evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, call the laborers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last up to the first. So far, things have been kind of normal. This guy has a vineyard, so he goes out and he hires people to work in the vineyard. And the first people he hires at the beginning of the day, he's like, I'll pay you a day's wages. And they're like, okay, sounds good. They go to work. And then he goes out later in the day, keeps hiring more people, and he says, I'll pay you what's fair. And they seem to trust him and think that's a good idea, so they say, okay, we'll go work. And he keeps hiring people to work in the vineyard. But then in verse 9 is where things get a little bit weird. And then those hired about the 11th hour came. Each of them received a denarius. Now when those hired first came, they thought they would receive more, but each of them also received a denarius. And on receiving it, they grumbled at the master of the house, saying, these last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us, who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat. And he replied to one of them, friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last worker as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or do you begrudge my generosity? So last will be first, and the first last. And I'm going to tell you guys a bit of a story from my own life that right now is going to seem really unrelated, but I promise you down the road, it's actually going to make some sense why I'm telling this story. So when I was in college, during the summers, I'd work in the yard of a lumber store. And it was basically driving around a forklift, stacking lumber, helping customers. Pretty simple job. That's actually the front of the lumber store where I worked. And it was a pretty fun job. Some days I liked going to work, some days I didn't. But I'd show up to work and I'd work and it was all good. But there's one part of the job that really frustrated me and I did not like. And that part of the job had a name. And I'm not going to say its actual name because that would be a little bit mean. But we're going to say that part of the job is Phil. And Phil had the same job as me. He was the other yard guy. But, I'd show up to work and work my 8 hours, whether I wanted to or not, and then go home. Phil would show up to work and go, I don't want to work, so I'll do anything to avoid it. So he'd talk to anybody in sight, take lots of smoke breaks, and if he came down, sometimes I'd find him just driving the forklift in circles in the yard. And that, like, if he had gotten paid for the 1 hour of work he did, well, I got paid for the 8 hours of work I did, it wouldn't bother me that much. But while I worked hard for 8 hours and got paid for 8 hours of work, he didn't, but he still got paid for 8 hours of work. And even worse, when I got a pay raise, he got the same pay raise. So I was upset about that. And I was like, life is unfair, and I'm not happy about this, and I want to quit. The money, so I'm not going to quit. So maybe in your life, you've seen similar things that are unfair. Maybe it's that you have that coworker at work who's terrible to work with, but your manager just thinks they're amazing. Or maybe it's in marriage that you come to those points where you realize that marriage isn't always fair. Sometimes there's parts that just are very unfair and there's nothing you can do about it. Or maybe it's at school and there's that one teacher who, it doesn't matter how hard you work, they'll never give you a fair grade because they just don't like you. Or there's that student at school who is a complete jerk to everyone and never gets in trouble for it. And maybe none of these relate to you, but I'm guessing there's one place in life that you can see unfairness. If you think about, you have brothers and sisters, think about them, and maybe you were the favorite kid, and so if you did something wrong, you could just be like, oh, nope, it was their fault, and they'd get in trouble, and that was kind of unfair. But you probably remember the time that they did something, and they blamed it on you, and you were the one who got in trouble. And you're just like, this isn't right. But life isn't fair. And so I think we can kind of agree on life isn't fair, and it's frustrating and irksome sometimes. And when you look at this parable, it's kind of funny because Jesus seems to get the life's not fair and doesn't think it's that weird. Looking at verse 11, it says, and on receiving it, they grumbled at the master of the house, saying, these last only worked 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat. They see these workers who started at the beginning of the day see the unfairness of this situation, and they're upset. But here's how the master replies. He says, friend, I'm doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last worker as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or do you begrudge my generosity? So the last will be first, and the first last. And if you haven't picked up on it yet, in this parable, the laborers represent us. We're the laborers in the vineyard, being called to the vineyard. And the master represents God and him coming and calling us to work in this vineyard. And the first thing that I'm going to point out in this is that what's right isn't always fair. Because sometimes we're like, oh, God, I worked so hard. I deserve this. And he's like, well, I'm going to give to you generously. But then we see the person next to us who's not working hard in our eyes, and we're like, God, why are you giving them this? And God chooses to be just as generous towards them, even if they don't deserve it. And it's funny because the lumberyard story, there's something that I didn't know that the owners of the lumberyard did know. Because Phil had actually been addicted to heroin in high school. And now he's a young adult. He's in his early 20s. And he had a young family that he was trying to support, and he was struggling with addiction still in other parts of his life. And, well, they knew that he was a lazy worker and he didn't deserve the same pay as I did. They looked at it and they were like, it's not about what he deserves and what's fair. It's about what's right and we can be generous and pay him the same as we pay Michael. And that's what's right, so we're going to do that. So the first point is what's right isn't always fair. God calls us to be generous in the kingdom of God. And if we step back, the chapter before this parable, it actually tells the story of this rich young man. And this rich young man comes up to Jesus and is like, what do I need to do to be saved? And Jesus is like, well, have you followed all the rules and commandments in the Bible? In this Old Testament? And the guy's like, yeah, I've followed every rule. I've followed every rule that God's put out. And then Jesus is like, take what you have, sell it, and give the money to the poor. And if I was in his shoes, like right now, I'd be like, okay, sure, whatever. I'll sell my bike and give a couple dollars to the poor. I don't, like, I'm young. I don't have a lot of stuff in life yet. And that's not a big deal. But on the other hand, if I was on the North Shore and I had a nice mansion and the car and the boat and the house, I'd be like, heck no. I earned this, God. I worked hard to get here. These poor people deserve it. There's reasons why they're poor. Maybe they made bad choices or they were born to the wrong family. I earned this. I'm not going to give this. But it's not about what's fair. The kingdom of God is about what's right and choosing to step beyond what's fair into what's generous. And the second part, this point really seems obvious. And it's what's right isn't wrong. And it's really obvious, but sometimes we forget this. Because I'm going to look at verse 6, and it says, and about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing. And he said to them, why do you stand here idle all day? And they said to him, because no one has hired us. He said to them, go into the vineyard too. And we see that the master keeps going out to the vineyard and calling more people to work. He doesn't just go, oh, I've got my laborers for the day, I'm good. He keeps going out and calling more people to work in his vineyard. And out of that, if we look at the big picture, we go, wait a second. This is a story about God calling us to work. Hold on a second. Think of God. God created the whole universe. He created everything. He's all powerful if he's actually God. So why does he need us to get work done? Like, I think of a guy on a backhoe, and you have a guy pull up on a backhoe and toss you a shovel and say, hey, dig a hole for me. You're going to be like, no. I can spend 2 days digging a hole that you could dig in 2 minutes. It doesn't make sense. In the same way, it doesn't make sense that God needs to call us to work in this vineyard and get his work done for him. But it's not about the work. Ephesians 2:10 puts this really well. It says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. It's not about getting the work done. It's that God created us for these good works, and he's calling us to them. And what I meant by saying what's right isn't wrong is that what's wrong in this parable is that these workers are standing idle. They're saying, nobody's come to hire us. And the master's just like, why are you standing around here idle? Nobody's called them to work. And what this is communicating is that we weren't meant to stand around idle. We weren't meant to spend our time just spending time and waiting to die. We were created for these good works. And what's right is for us to be doing them. That is the kingdom of God coming to earth. And God is calling us to that. And the third point that I'm going to make is that what is right is love and justice. And this story illustrates it, the parable, as the master keeps going out in person. He doesn't send his foreman. He could be at home on a couch. Master could be like, oh, foreman, go out, hire some people to work in the vineyard today. He's probably a pretty successful vineyard owner. But instead, he's like going out by himself to these people saying, come, work in the vineyard. And it actually really ties in well to what Christ was doing in his time on earth when he told this parable. Because we had rebelled against God. We had broken the perfect creation that he had made. We had taken what was God's desire and God's design, and we'd taken it astray through our rebellion against God. And rather than just sending some random person to be like, hey, straighten up, do the right thing, he sent his own son to earth, both fully God and fully human. And Jesus had to live a life as fully God and fully human, experiencing the injustice of a family, probably getting blamed for things he didn't do, and the struggles of having friends reject you, and just the different pain and unfairness that we see in our lives. And then, to top it off, he died for our sake to make things right while falsely accused. He wasn't justly accused of anything. He was falsely accused and killed and suffered unfairness for our sake to make things right. Because the cost of our sin and rebellion against God was physical death and spiritual death. And so if God had just loved us, he could have said, well, I love you, so you guys should have like a bad life for a few years and then everything will be okay. But that would be a mockery of justice. That wouldn't be justice if God just kind of looked the other way. He said, there is a consequence and it needs to be fulfilled. But because I love you so deeply, I'm going to send my own son to suffer through this death for your sake and make things right. And the question now is, well, the kingdom of God is coming in the new heaven and the new earth. Jesus came and said, I'm bringing the kingdom of God. I want you to be part of it here and now, our lives on earth. And what does that look like? And this parable starts with the kingdom of heaven is like. And then it ends with a phrase that keeps showing up at the end of the parables. So the last will be first, and the first last. So it's making the point there. The kingdom of heaven is the last will be first, and the first will be last. I'm like, with this Phil guy, I was a hard worker, so I should have been rewarded and paid well, and congratulated, and got pay raises. And he was a lazy worker, so he would have been last. And he should have like gotten bad pay or maybe been fired. Or if you think about friendship, the good friend, in our view, that should be fair, and the good friend should be paid, should be given love and deep care, and the bad friend should be rejected and given bitterness. That would be the first being first and the last being last. That would be how we judge the Olympics or something like that. But where in your life do you coming up, where you treat the first or the last? In your marriage, do you see that when your spouse thinks you're the most amazing person ever and cares about your life and just wants to hear about everything, do you treat them the same then as when they're tired and they're grumpy and they could care less about your problems? Or are you treating them first when they feel first in your life and last when they feel last in your life? Or when you're driving down the highway, do you let the person who's an idiot who doesn't know what a turn signal is merge in just as easily as the person who's polite and like does a little wave at you? I know that one's tough for me. Or at church, when you come into a church service, do you go, oh, these are the people who I like and who are cool, and I'm going to talk to them, but I'm going to avoid greeting the people who are different or make me uncomfortable? Or in school or work or sports, do you care about everyone equally and support them equally? Or are you like, oh, that person's been on the bench for the last 5 years, they don't count. That person is the janitor, they don't count. That person is whatever, they don't count. And I'm going to make this a little uncomfortable for a minute. I want you to think about who is the last, the least, the most undesirable, the most unpleasant, the most undeserving of love in your eyes. And we're going to take a minute, and I want you to think about that. And then, like, if you have your phone on you, You can pull it out. You can straight up text somebody in your life who you trust and will hold you accountable and say, I treat this person as last, and I need to start treating them as first. If you don't have your phone with you, then if it's appropriate, talk to somebody next to you. Just be like, hey, can you hold me accountable to this? Or if you don't have that, then like try to find a pen and a paper and write yourself a note. And then like the next 24 hours, talk to somebody, because we don't just change easily. But if we have someone holding us accountable and we're humble about it, then God has the opportunity to work in our actions and our hearts and change how we approach it. So I'm going to stop talking now. We're just going to take a minute to be quiet, think that through, and let somebody know to hold you accountable, to treat somebody that you view as last in your life as somebody that you should treat first. All right. Hope you had time to respond to that. If there's somebody who came to your mind that you need to change how you're treating them. Like, I had somebody come to my mind. I didn't have time to text them yet. Well, text somebody else about them to hold me accountable yet. I'm not going to text them and be like, oh, you suck. No. But I promise you I will do that, because that's really uncomfortable and I hate changing and being honest and humble before God. But that's the only way that things do change. And I want to think about, what would it look like if instead of treating the first as first and the last as last, if we treated the first as last and the last as first, what does that look like? I think it looks like coming into a church that's defined by love and justice and caring about, rather than defining people by their age or their race or their gender or their popularity, define people as being created in the image of God for good works and valuing everyone because of that. Or it could be in our families, instead of being defined by bitterness and anger and being upset about all the unfairness that happens, instead having love and justice and accepting that it's going to be unfair and choosing to love people despite that. I think that in work and school, instead of having the cool people and you're always like, oh, what's the ranking of first to last? I need to hang with the first people and maybe become them. That you go, who's last in my school or my workplace? How do I value them and show them that they matter? And what I see is that God set this perfect example of his love and justice and making things right through sending his son to die on the cross for our sake. But as he came to die on the cross for our sake, Jesus shared this parable with us to call us into right relationship with him and right relationship with those around us. And he wants us to bring the kingdom of heaven to earth now. And he gave us his spirit to live in us and through us, to work in our heart and live out through our actions here and now. And what's right is not what's fair. What's right is being generous. What's right is not sitting around doing the wrong thing. What's right is seeing the good works that God created us for and is calling us to and living those out. What is right is choosing to have love and justice together towards those around us. And just as God set that example, he's calling us to that now. And I pray that we would come together and invite the Holy Spirit to work in our lives and transform our hearts so that we would treat those who we see as last as first in our own lives. I'm just